Okay, so you sent us your life insurance documents, right?
Right.
And when you first got those pages and you looked at them, you probably thought, legalese.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way.
Totally. But we want to assure you that, like, buried within all these provisions are these really key
Oh,
details
yeah, absolutely.
that impact you and everyone that you care about.
Exactly. And that's why we're doing this deep
Yeah.
dive, specifically on that Life Chapter 7 lifepolicyprovisions.pdf that
Yes.
you sent to us.
Yes.
Think of it like we're going through this user manual of your policy together.
Yes.
So you can actually understand the rules of this contract you're a part of.
Exactly, because it is a contract.
It is.
And we want to make sure that everyone understands, like, what are these standard provisions? What do they mean?
Right.
What are these beneficiary clauses? What are the exclusions? When does this policy not apply?
Right.
And so we really want to, take all this information and make it make sense because it can be a little bit intimidating. And, sometimes you just need someone to explain it to you.
Absolutely.
So why don't we start with the standard provisions?
That sounds good.
And one of the first ones that pops up that I think is really interesting is this free look period.
Yes, so what I find interesting about this is that it's like a no-risk test drive of the policy.
Oh, I was going to say
So
that.
from when you get the policy, you typically have like 10 days to read through everything.
Right.
And if in that time you decide it's not the right fit
Yeah.
for whatever reason,
Yeah.
you can return it and get a full premium refund.
Yeah. Wow.
You paid nothing. It's null and void.
Okay, so it's like it never happened.
Exactly. And why that's so important is it gives you a chance to catch anything that might have been misrepresented or that you didn't fully understand in the sales process.
Right.
You're not financially at risk for that 10-day period.
Right, like a cooling off period.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So then we move on to the insuring clause.
Yeah.
Now, this sounds very important.
It is the heart of the
Okay.
policy. This is where the insurance company states they will pay a specific amount,
Right.
the death benefit to a specific person.
Right.
What's also worth noting is it has to be signed by a company officer. So this
Oh.
isn't just like words on a page.
Right.
This is a like formal commitment.
Right. It's signed off on by
Exactly.
someone in a position of authority.
Yeah, it's the foundation of the entire contract.
Okay. So big one insuring clause. Got
Yes.
it. And then, what are my ownership rights? If this is my policy.
So your ownership rights belong to you, the policy owner.
Okay.
And they give you a huge amount of control
Okay.
over the policy throughout the insured's life.
Okay.
What are some things that jump out at you when you read this?
Well, I can change the beneficiary unless they're irrevocable, which we'll
Oh,
get to.
yeah.
I can also choose like different ways the benefit can be paid out, like the settlement options.
Right, those settlement options.
And there's this thing called non-forfeiture options.
Yes. So non-forfeiture options come into play if you decide to stop paying premiums
Okay.
on a permanent life insurance policy.
Right.
That has accumulated cash value.
Okay.
So instead of just like losing that value,
Right.
it allows you to access that value in different ways.
Okay.
So like taking a reduced paid-up policy or surrendering for cash.
Gotcha.
But going back to ownership rights, you can also access any cash value or dividends.
Right.
You can cancel the policy.
Right.
You can assign ownership to someone else.
Okay.
You can change how often you pay your premiums.
Gotcha.
And you can even receive proceeds if it matures during your lifetime.
Wow.
The key here is that unless a beneficiary is irrevocable, you can generally take these actions without their consent.
That's a lot of power
It
to the
is.
policy owner.
It is.
So that's something to think about when you're setting up your policy.
For sure.
Okay, so then there's the assignment portion of this. Now
Yes.
there's two types, collateral and absolute. What's the difference?
Okay, so collateral assignment, think of it like a temporary arrangement.
Okay.
You're using your policy as security for a loan.
Gotcha.
So like you might take out a loan from a bank and they require you to assign a portion of your death benefit.
Okay.
As collateral, the ownership of the policy doesn't change hands.
Okay.
Once the loan is repaid, the collateral assignment is removed.
Okay.
Now, absolute assignment, that's a complete transfer of ownership rights
Okay.
to another person.
Right.
So a common example is a parent transferring ownership to their child when they turn 18.
Right.
And after an absolute assignment, the original owner has no rights to the policy anymore.
Okay.
Why might you do this? Maybe estate planning purposes.
Right.
Maybe the child now has a greater need for the coverage.
Right. They have an insurable interest.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So collateral is like temporary, absolute is like giving away the keys.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. All right, so then there's this entire contract
Yes.
provision. What does that mean?
So the entire contract provision states that the policy and your application are like the only agreement
Oh, okay.
between you and the insurance company.
Yeah.
So what this does is it prevents the insurer from denying a claim
Okay.
based on something that wasn't in your application or the policy document.
Okay.
So it kind of like protects you.
Right. So there's no like, oh, well, you said this one time to this person,
Exactly.
or this was like a side agreement that we had.
Exactly. It's all there, black and white.
Got it. Okay. So it's like a protection for the policyholder.
It is.
Cool. So endorsements are like modifications to your policy.
Right.
How does that work?
So if you need to make changes, these changes have to be written, agreed upon by both parties,
Okay.
and signed by a company executive officer.
Okay.
So your insurance agent can't just make changes on the fly.
Oh, so it has to be like high level approval, like this
Yeah.
insurance company. Okay, got it.
So it's official and legally binding
Okay.
for both parties.
Got it. Then there's this word consideration, and I feel like we hear that a lot in like contract law.
Yeah. Consideration, what is that?
So what is that in terms of a life insurance policy?
Right. So consideration is the value each party brings to the contract.
Okay.
So for you, your consideration is your initial premium payment
Okay.
and the truthfulness of the statements on your application.
Gotcha.
That's how they assess the risk.
Right.
For the insurance company, their consideration is their promise to pay the death benefit
Right.
when you die.
Okay.
So it's that mutual exchange.
I give you money, you give me a promise.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Payment of premium, like when do I have to pay? How do I have to pay?
So this basically says that premiums are due in advance.
Okay, so I'm paying for the coverage before it starts.
Exactly. It outlines how often you pay. So annual, semi-annual, quarterly, monthly.
Right. Like what are the different modes of paying?
Right. And it might also talk about the premium structure.
Okay.
So do you have level premiums, single premium, graded premiums, or flexible premiums?
Okay, so lots of different ways that that can work.
Exactly.
Okay. And then what about the grace period? Because I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, what happens if I forget to pay?
Right. So the grace period is there to protect you.
Oh.
If you miss a payment,
Yeah.
your policy doesn't immediately lapse.
Okay.
Coverage continues for a set time, usually 30 or 31 days. This gives you time to make the payment.
Catch up.
Yes. Now, if the insured dies during the grace period,
Uh-oh.
they will still pay the death benefit, but they'll deduct the overdue premium.
Okay, so they'll just take it out of the benefit.
Right.
Okay, but at least the beneficiary is still getting something.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good. Now what if it does lapse? Like what if I completely miss that grace period and I need to get the policy back?
So there's a provision for reinstatement.
Okay.
This lets you bring it back,
Okay.
but there are conditions.
Like what?
You have to apply within a certain time frame,
Okay.
usually 3 to 5 years. You have to pay all the missed premiums plus interest.
Oh, wow. So it can get expensive
It
to
can,
reinstate.
and you have to prove you're still insurable.
Oh, so they might make you do another medical exam.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so you really want to avoid lapsing if possible.
Yes. Try to avoid that grace period.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so incontestability, this sounds like a good thing.
It is.
What does that mean?
So this basically says that after your policy has been in effect for a certain period, usually 2 years,
Okay.
the insurance company can't dispute a claim
Oh, wow.
based on something you might have said on your application.
Oh, okay.
So for the first 2 years, they can investigate,
Right.
but after that, they can't.
Okay, so that first 2 years is like the danger zone.
It is. You want to make sure everything on
Right.
your application is correct.
For sure.
But after that 2 years, you're pretty much set.
Okay.
Now, if you reinstate a policy, a new contestability period begins.
Oh, okay.
But it only applies to the new information you provided,
Okay.
not to the original application.
Got it. So they're basically saying, like, we trust that what you told us originally was true.
Exactly, after 2 years.
But if you had to reinstate, we're going to double check everything.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. So are there any exceptions to this incontestability?
There are a few exceptions.
As what?
Misstatement of age is a big one.
Okay.
So even after the 2 years, if they find out you lied about your age,
Yeah.
they can adjust the death benefit.
Okay.
So if you said you were younger, the benefit would likely be reduced
Right.
because you paid lower premiums.
Makes sense.
And vice versa, if you said you were older, the benefit might be increased.
Okay.
They also do similar adjustments for misstatement of sex.
Gotcha. Okay, so they're not like completely denying the claim.
Right.
They're just kind of modifying it.
Exactly, to reflect the correct information.
Okay, got it. All right, so suicide, this is a tough one.
It is.
How does that work with life insurance?
Right, so the suicide clause basically says that if you die by suicide within a certain period, usually 1 or 2 years after the policy is issued, they will only refund the premiums you paid.
Okay.
They won't pay the full death benefit.
Right, yeah.
But after that period, they will pay.
Okay, it's like a waiting period.
It is.
Okay.
Also, suicide is excluded from accidental death benefits.
Oh, okay, so that's important to know.
Yes.
All right, last one here. Payment of claims. So, like, what are my beneficiary's rights?
Right, so this says the insurer has to pay promptly.
Okay.
Usually within 60 days of receiving proof of death.
Okay.
And if they delay, they may have to pay interest on a death benefit.
So it's in their best interest to pay as soon as possible.
Exactly.
All right, so we've gone over all the standard provisions.
We have.
Now we're going to talk about beneficiaries. This is who gets the money.
Right.
And as the policy owner, I can decide and change that, right?
Generally, yes, as long as the beneficiary isn't irrevocable.
Right, we'll get to that.
You can change them whenever you want.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. And, you know, when I'm naming these beneficiaries, do I have to, like, use their full legal names?
Yes, it's really important to clearly identify them.
Okay.
Full legal name to avoid any confusion.
Got it.
If you have multiple beneficiaries and don't specify percentages, the proceeds are usually divided equally.
Okay, so just keep that in mind.
Yes.
If you want it to be split a certain way, you got to write that down.
You have to state that.
Okay. Now, what if I just want to say, like, all my children get this?
You can designate a class.
Oh, okay.
Like my children, my siblings. Yeah. So you don't have to name them individually.
Okay.
This is helpful if your family situation might change.
Right. Like if you have more kids.
Exactly. You don't have to update the policy every time.
Gotcha. That's cool. And then I saw this word trusts.
Yes.
That sounds complicated. Like, when would I use a trust?
So a trust is a legal arrangement where you transfer assets to a trustee.
Right.
Who then manages those assets for your beneficiaries according to your instructions.
So it's like someone else managing the money.
Exactly.
On behalf of my beneficiary.
Right.
Okay.
This can be helpful if your beneficiary is a minor.
Right, because they can't legally handle that money.
Or if you want to control how the money is distributed.
Okay.
Or if you have specific estate planning goals.
Okay.
You'll need a lawyer to set up a trust, though.
Right. So it's not something you just do on your own.
Not really.
Okay. So yeah, speaking of minors, they can't just get the money directly, can they?
No, they can't. They're not legally allowed to.
So how does that work if I want my kids to be the beneficiaries?
So you have a few options.
Okay.
You could set up a trust.
Right. We just talked about
it. You could appoint a legal guardian.
Okay.
The money would go to them.
Right. And they manage it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or the insurance company could hold the money.
Okay.
Until the minor turns 18.
Okay.
But that doesn't give you as much control.
Right. The trust or the guardian seems better.
Yeah.
Okay. What about my estate? Like, can my estate be the beneficiary?
Yes. Your estate can be the beneficiary.
Okay. And why would I want to do that?
It can be convenient to cover debts.
Okay.
Funeral expenses.
Right.
Administrative costs.
Makes sense.
But there are downsides.
Like what?
The money becomes part of your probate estate.
Okay.
Which can be time consuming.
Right.
And costly.
Okay.
Plus, it might be subject to creditor claims and estate taxes.
Oh, so it's not always the best option?
It depends on your situation.
Okay. So I saw these words per capita and per stapes.
Yes, those are important.
And they have to do with, like, if one of my beneficiaries dies before I do.
Exactly.
So what's the difference?
Okay, so let's say you have two kids, Sarah and Michael.
Okay.
And they're your beneficiaries.
Yeah.
If Michael dies before you, under per capita, the entire benefit goes to Sarah.
Oh, wow.
His kids wouldn't get anything.
Oh, okay.
It's just divided among the survivors.
Okay.
But under per stirps, Michael's share would go to his kids. So Sarah would get her half and Michael's kids would split his half.
Okay. So per stirps is like thinking about the whole family line.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, what about contingent beneficiaries?
So those are your backups.
Okay.
Your primary beneficiary is first in line.
Right.
But if they die before you, the contingent beneficiary gets it.
Okay.
You can even have tertiary beneficiaries.
Wow. So like a whole line of succession.
Exactly.
Okay. That's cool. And then revocable versus irrevocable beneficiaries. What does that mean?
So revocable means you can change the beneficiary whenever you want.
Okay.
Without their consent.
Right.
But irrevocable means you can't change it without their consent.
Okay.
This is usually used in specific situations.
Like what?
Divorce settlements.
Okay.
Business agreements.
Gotcha.
So it's a much bigger decision.
Right. You're basically giving up your power to change it.
Exactly.
Okay. And how do I actually make these changes to my beneficiaries?
You usually submit a written request to the insurance company. Might be a specific form.
Right.
And it's usually effective from the date you signed it.
Okay, so it's not like a retroactive thing.
Not usually.
Okay, cool. Now, this facility of payment provision.
Yes.
It sounds like the insurance company gets to decide who to pay.
Not exactly. It just gives them some flexibility.
Okay.
In specific situations.
Like what?
If the beneficiary is a minor.
Okay.
Or can't be found.
Right.
Or if someone else paid for final expenses.
Okay.
They can pay those people instead.
Okay, so it's like a practical thing.
It is.
To make sure the money goes to the right place.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, this Uniform Simultaneous Death Act and Common Disaster Provision.
Right. So these deal with when the insured and the beneficiary die at the same time.
Oh, gosh, that's awful.
It is.
So how does that work?
Okay, so the Uniform Simultaneous Death Act says if it's impossible to tell who died first,
yeah,
we assume the beneficiary died first.
Okay.
So the money goes to the contingent beneficiary.
Gotcha.
Or the insured's estate. Now, the common disaster provision is similar.
Okay.
But it adds a time frame.
Okay.
Usually 30 to 90 days.
Okay.
So if the beneficiary dies
right
within that time after the insured
yeah
from the same event,
right,
we assume they died first too.
Okay.
So like in your example with John and Marcy.
Yes.
Even though Marcy lived for 10 days,
right,
she's considered to have died before John.
So the money went to their kids.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good that that's in place.
It is. It avoids complications.
For sure. Okay, last one here. Spendthrift provision. What is that?
So this protects the beneficiary.
Okay.
From themselves, basically.
What do you mean?
It might say they can't get the money all at once.
Oh.
Or they can't borrow against it.
Gotcha.
Is to prevent them from wasting it.
Right. Or making bad decisions.
Exactly.
Okay, so the insured can kind of control how the money's used.
Even after they're gone.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty powerful. All right, so we've gone through all the beneficiary stuff. Now we're on to exclusions. When does my policy not pay out?
Right. So exclusions define the boundaries of your coverage.
Okay.
It's important to know what's not covered.
For sure.
Well, the most common is suicide.
Right.
But remember, this usually only applies for the first 1 or 2 years.
Right. We talked about that.
After that, it's covered.
Okay, good to know. What about aviation? Like, if I'm on a plane and it crashes?
So generally, that's covered.
Okay.
The aviation exclusion is usually for riskier activities.
Okay.
Like private piloting or military flying.
Right.
Not commercial flights.
So if I'm just a regular passenger, I'm good.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Hmm. What about war or military service?
So there are two types of exclusions here.
Okay.
Status type and results type.
What's the difference?
Status type means you're not covered if you're in the military.
Oh, wow. Regardless of how you die.
Even if you die on leave.
Wow. Okay.
Results type means you're only excluded if you die because of the war.
Okay.
So like if you die from an illness while serving, you might still be covered.
Okay, so it really depends on the wording of the policy.
Exactly.
Got it. And then hazardous occupations or hobbies?
Yes. So some policies exclude deaths from risky activities.
Okay.
Like race car driving or skydiving.
Right.
They might charge you a higher premium.
Okay.
Or limit your coverage.
Gotcha.
It depends on the company.
Okay, so if I'm doing something dangerous, I should check my policy.
Definitely.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
All these provisions and clauses and exclusions.
It's a lot to take in.
It is, but it's important to understand it.
It is.
You know, so you know what you're signing up for.
Exactly.
So now that you've heard all this, like, what's the one provision that you're going to go back and double check?
Right. What stands out to you?
In your own policy. Like, what are you curious about?
And why is it important to you?
Yeah. And how does this affect your loved ones?
These are all things to consider.
And if you have any questions, you know, reach out to a financial advisor.
Absolutely.
Or an insurance professional.
They can help.
This is your life insurance we're talking about.
Yes. Take control of your financial planning.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.
See you then.